rated number one for all the wrong reasons. Canada recognized on the world stage for flight delays and cancellations. Tonight, the growing calls for accountability over a problem like the lines that shows no end in sight. Good evening. Travelers call it a nightmare, forced to wait for hours, even days on end.
Tonight, we're learning the situation here is among the worst in the world. CTV's Sean Lethong joins us live from Pearson Airport with the latest. Sean?
Well, Pauline and Michelle, we found out that this weekend, airlines from Canada were the most delayed of the entire world. We had heard from officials that these delays have been felt everywhere in the world, but now we know it's the worst here.
Cancellations and delays, the story of summer travel. The faces of travelers can be frustrated, frantically trying to find their next flight.
How long have you been on hold?
On hold. About 40 minutes now.
It's also a common sign to find passengers sleeping at Terminal 1. Mojia and wife Talia were traveling from Sydney, Australia to Toronto and then to Vancouver to meet family.
My flight was last night, 9 o'clock. They canceled it and they said I can catch a flight for 9 o'clock today morning. Again, they canceled it for 11. And again, now I have a ticket for 2 o'clock.
So now we lost one day already. And we're hoping to at least have 1 week over there with our family, but we already lost today.
Over the long weekend, Air Canada ranked number one in the world for delays, this according to travel tracker FlightAware. Yesterday, Pearson saw a total of 574 delayed flights with 87 cancellations. Today, as much of the airport moved, those delayed showed the signs of frustration.
It's terrible. We're exhausted and, I mean, it was just bouncing everywhere, so there was no clear communication.
Max and Maddie are trying to get home to Salt Lake City. They waited on the tarmac for 2 hours and then their connecting flight was canceled.
United was telling us to talk to Air Canada. Air Canada is telling us to talk to Delta. Feels like the left hand doesn't know what the right's doing. It's kind of wild.
A huge pile of unclaimed domestic luggage remains at the baggage area. Many of the delays are on smaller domestic flights. The most delayed airline at Pearson today was smaller carrier Jazz Aviation. Karen McGill is part of a group on their way to Regina, Saskatchewan for a Highland dancing competition, but they too were delayed.
We came the 4 hours early to the airport and then flight was changed, so now we're here, what, 6 or 8 hours till our flight goes?
All they can do is wait, like 17-year-old Kyla McGill, using the time to be creative but still frustrated.
It kind of sucks. Don't love it. Kind of impatient.
Impatient, wondering if this will ever end.
So to give you a sense of what's been going on, it's about 25% of flights or fewer at certain times that are getting delayed. Now, we did reach out to the GTAA, we reached out to Air Canada and CATSA to get some sort of understanding as to where we are and when this will be finished, but none of the three responded. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Pauline, I'll send it back to you.
Thanks, Sean. And we have an update to a story we told you about, a rescue dog lost at Pearson over the weekend. Jenna Butts was bringing the stray named Winston home from the Dominican Republic, but there was no sign of Winston when she arrived. It wasn't until nearly 24 hours later that he was located in his crate. Butts says Air Transat contacted her this morning, offering to reimburse her for Winston's flight. She says she hasn't decided if she's going to accept the offer or if she's going to seek further legal action. And we have more on Winston's ordeal and so many other travel stories. You can also get the latest updates on this story on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Dangerous, illegal, and ill-advised. Officials are sounding the alarm over a senseless stunt posted online. Two people in masks riding on top of a subway. Tonight, the transit agency is working to identify the culprits with the threat of fines or criminal charges. CTV's Beth McDonnell joins us live from Kennedy Station tonight with the latest details. Beth.
Michelle, the TTC says these trains travel up to 50 kilometers an hour. The TTC is calling this stunt dangerous and dumb. We showed the video to passengers and they agree. Between the rail cars, up on the roof for a Canada Day train surfing stunt. Two people riding line 3, posting it on the internet for the world to see.
Just craziness and nonsense.
The pair do go a distance with the Canadian flag in hand, by trees, ducking an overpass, and into Kennedy Station.
I personally think it's not really that safe, because who knows, you could probably fall off of it.
That's a no-no. They're risking with their lives.
The TTC is investigating, which the agency says could lead to serious consequences, a possible bylaw infraction or mischief interfering with property, a charge that could be laid by police.
Really dumb, frankly. People can obviously get hurt very badly. People can die. It can cause inconvenience to the system if we have to shut it down, if we know that people are up there. So there are all sorts of reasons that people just should not be doing this.
When the masked surfers roll into the station, they jump onto the platform and bolt through the bus terminal and over a fence and away.
I think that's ridiculous, honestly.
I don't know how
they even managed to pull that off, and that's so many risks involved.
And I don't think it would be worth it.
And even posting that online, I feel like it's stupid because people are going to find out.
But will they be caught? That's another matter.
Without someone visibly seeing it, it can't be reported in real time. But as soon as we find out, we have a number of investigative techniques to identify time and that sort of thing. We can go into the station cameras.
I just feel like now with social media too, I just feel like everyone's just doing more grand and grand gestures as well. So.
And where does this one stack up?
Probably high up there, yeah.
It's crazy and dangerous.
Do you think they'll be able to find them?
No, I hope they do, because they shouldn't be doing something like this.
The TTC says on top of being illegal, it doesn't want to see copycats and hopes to deter stunts like this. Toronto police say they will only get involved if the TTC investigation would lead to criminal charges. Reporting live at Kennedy Station, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. The city's parking enforcement officers are once again towing vehicles parked in rush hour zones as traffic volume returns to pre-pandemic levels. Enforcement of designated rush hour routes was suspended during the pandemic, but bylaw enforcement resumed last week and starting today, as you see here. Tow trucks are targeting any vehicles parked during restricted hours, which are typically between 7 and 9 a.m. and 3 to 7 p.m. Drivers will face a $150 fine for pulling over in any area with time-restricted parking, as well as stopping in a bicycle lane.
Generally speaking, we are around the pre-pandemic load. For the rush hour tickets issued last week alone through the four-day work week, it was 3,236 tickets that were issued.
In addition to the cost of a ticket, it will also cost drivers several hundred dollars to recover a towed vehicle from an impound lot. The fines will also be enforced on residential streets with school zones that restrict parking between 8 and 9 a.m.
In Mississauga, police are investigating after one person was killed and another injured in an early morning stabbing. It happened outside a banquet hall near Britannia Road and Huron, Ontario, just before 2:30 a.m. Investigators say one man was found on the pavement with serious injuries and died on scene. A second victim was taken to a trauma center. The attackers involved in the incident fled before police arrived.
At this point, it seems to be an isolated incident, so there's no public safety threats at this time, and all investigators are diligently working on this investigation and are trying to figure out what transpired.
Investigators are pouring through surveillance video from the area. No suspect description has been released.
A massive fire gutted a home in Richmond Hill. It also forced the evacuation of nearby homes. The blaze broke out on Wainwright Avenue this morning and quickly devoured the roof. A ladder truck was brought in to fight this fire. No injuries are reported. Still to come tonight, a 4th of July celebration marred by gunfire. Six people killed at a Chicago area parade, two dozen others injured. Tonight, details on the mass shooting and the hunt for the gunman.
Here in Toronto, overcast but still warm as we begin the work week. Could some showers be on the way? Well, Jessica Smith is here with a look at the current conditions. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Pauline. They're starting to roll in already. We've been watching this low making its way kind of from the Dakotas over towards us. It's already made its way into parts of northern Ontario, and it will just continue to make its way across. We could see a pop-up shower or two this evening, but the bulk of it really is set to settle in tomorrow. We're also looking at a little bit of heat right now from Windsor all the way up towards London. We're looking at those humidex values heading into the day tomorrow into the 40s. Now, as we head through the rest of our evening, relatively comfortable, kind of in the mid-20 range for the most part across southern Ontario. As we make our way through the island, a little cloudier there, but we're right around 21, 24. Tonight, it is going to be warm. Coming up, a full look at that rain on the way. Pauline.
Thanks, Jessica. We turn to the City of Toronto masking rule that an international group calls discriminatory and a violation of the religious freedoms.
The policy requires security guards be clean-shaven to wear N95 masks, something members of the Sikh community say their faith doesn't allow them to do. CTV's Siobhan Morris joins us live with the story. Siobhan.
Well, Michelle, members of the Sikh community right across the GTA are confounded and frankly hurt by this policy. They say it puts Sikh security guards in kind of an impossible position of choosing a well-paying job that they chose or practicing their religion.
I'm trying to fight it.
Birkarwal Singh Anand took a job as a security guard at one of Toronto's respite centres for the homeless this spring. Then last month, an email.
If you want to work, from next week onwards, you'll have to be clean-shaved.
The demand to shave is so that he can have an N95 at the ready if the center is dealing with a COVID-19 outbreak.
Those N95s need to be what is called fit tested, so they have to have a good solid seal around the nose and mouth and chin, and that is something that facial hair prevents from happening.
As a Sikh, Anand describes the request as being asked to peel his skin off.
That was very disturbing for me because very humiliating for me. Everyone's freedom of speech and freedom rights are being protected. For me, if I cannot follow my religion, this is something disgusting, right?
The city says the guards are employees of independent contractors and they have to find ways to make the policy work.
And for review of any complaint that the city receives from a contractor or about a contractor, with respect to not accommodating or not adhering to the city's policy around anti-discrimination.
Anand says the accommodation he was offered wasn't acceptable.
The accommodation they mean by is that there will be some kind of demotion of my position and my pay rate as well.
So you have over 106 security guards who've been essentially thrown out of their jobs.
The World Sikh Organization of Canada has been fielding calls from baffled security guards.
These security guards feel used. So when they were needed for service, when their lives were actually in danger, they were able to serve wearing normal medical masks, and they can still wear normal medical masks. But now, when everything is being lifted, the situation is changing, they've been thrown out of their jobs for a rule that just makes no sense.
The city couldn't answer why the masks are required as regulations elsewhere lift.
The city's shelter system and congregate settings generally are looking after some of our most vulnerable residents.
The World Sikh Organization of Canada wants guards to get their original jobs back and to be paid for the time they missed.
Well, I spoke with the human resources director at ASP Security, where Anand worked. She says that the company did what it could to find accommodations for people who couldn't be fitted for those N95 masks, but she couldn't say how many people. The other two security companies employed by the city, Gardaworld and Star Security, didn't get back to us. Reporting live, I'm Siobhan Morris. Pauline, back to you.
Thanks, Siobhan. CTV News has learned former Saskatchewan Premier Brad Wall was in contact with a key organizer of the trucker protest in Ottawa last winter, and he provided Chris Barber with strategic advice. CTV's Glenn McGregor reports.
Barber was arrested in February and faces charges of intimidation, obstruction of police, and counseling mischief related to the three-week occupation of Ottawa. Even before the convoy arrived, Barber was in contact with Wall, once one of Canada's most powerful conservative political figures. Data extracted from Barber's cell phone by Ottawa police show the two exchanged more than two dozen text messages in January and early February and spent nearly half an hour on the phone. in these chats. Wall encouraged Barber to distance himself from more extreme figures associated with the convoy, including organizer Pat King. He also suggested the convoy declare victory after Saskatchewan and Ontario announced they would be rescinding some COVID measures. And he told Barber his daughter's boyfriend was willing to help deliver supplies to the protesters in Ottawa. Wall is not the only conservative to show support for the protests that Ottawa police consider illegal. MPs Pierre Poilievre, a candidate for the party leadership, and interim leader Candace Bergen also came out to pose for photos with protesters outside of Parliament Hill. Brad Wall is now a special advisor to a Calgary law firm. We reached him this afternoon. He said he knows Barber from Swift Current, Saskatchewan, but declined to comment on what he called a private matter. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
To a developing and devastating story south of the border, a 4th of July celebration shattered by gun violence.
A shooter opened fire into a crowd gathered for a parade outside of Chicago. Tonight, 6 people are dead and the gunman is still at large. CTV's Andrea Case joins us now with the details. Andrea?
Pauline and Michelle, good evening. It is a story with few details and so many questions. With a busy travel weekend and larger celebrations post-COVID restrictions, the Department of Homeland Security and other law enforcement branches have been concerned about threats from extremists and lone wolf attackers.
It is a procession of vehicles on a parade route which no one wants to see on the 4th of July. Following a mass shooting in downtown Highland Park, Illinois this morning, local and state police and the FBI have converged on the Chicago suburb. Left behind, chairs, coolers, and the personal belongings of those who just moments before lined the street to celebrate America's 246th birthday. Shattering the joy of the holiday, an unknown gunman fired into the unsuspecting crowd from a nearby business rooftop, sending participants and those watching scrambling for cover.
On a day that we came together to celebrate community and freedom, we're instead mourning the loss, the tragic loss of life, and struggling with the terror that was brought upon us.
The emergency crews who responded, many of which were already on scene, and the shooting happened quickly. Police say numerous shots were fired, and when the dust settled, it was announced 6 adults were dead and 24 more were wounded. But as the day unfolded, other people with injuries arrived at various hospitals.
There was no, like, target. It was just shooting whoever.
A high-powered rifle was recovered, but the shooter disappeared. Police described the shooter as a white male between 18 and 20 years old with a small build and longer black hair. CTV News public safety analyst Chris Lewis says this was a target-rich environment.
There's a lot of moving parts right now, of course, a lot they don't know, a lot we don't know, but protecting life is always the priority. So stopping him from hurting anyone else is number one for them.
Some thought the sound of gunfire was fireworks. This witness first thought the gunfire was the Navy saluting the flag. He picked up his son and put him in a dumpster for safety as the shots continued to ring out.
It just didn't stop. You know, you want it to stop, and it just kept on going, and he reloaded.
He says he saw several people shot, including a child, which was critically injured. It was a scene he won't forget.
You're not safe anymore. You're not safe, and you're always going to be thinking at the happiest moment is that somebody's going to come and disrupt your happiness and terrorize you. You never thought that.
People were advised to shelter in place. Police are now going door to door looking for the suspect and evacuating those in hiding.
Highland Park is 43 kilometers from Chicago. Why the gunman chose this location is just one of the many questions being asked, and which community could be next. Nearby celebrations for the 4th of July are being canceled in places as a precaution, as the gunman remains at large and is assumed to be armed and dangerous. Police say they're making significant progress in their investigation, so this is a continuing story. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Reporting live, I'm Andrea Case. Michelle, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Andrea. A state of emergency has been declared in Akron, Ohio, following the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man by police. The move follows protests that turned unruly last night. A downtown curfew is now being imposed, and July 4th fireworks have been canceled. 8 officers shot at Jalen Walker as he fled a traffic stop last week. His body was found to have some 60 bullet wounds. Police say the 25-year-old had a gun in his car but left it on the seat as he fled on foot. The 8 officers have been placed on paid administrative leave.
In Copenhagen, the man accused of killing three people at a shopping mall will undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Two 17-year-olds and a 47-year-old were killed. Seven other people were wounded when the 22-year-old Dane opened fire yesterday. He is charged with manslaughter and intent to kill. The suspect has been remanded in custody for 24 days. Police say there's no indication the crime was an act of terrorism.
A day after losing a key region in the east, Ukraine called on the West to target Russian finances.
Kyiv wants its allies to freeze Russian assets and redirect the money to fund the rebuilding of the war-torn country. CTV's Danielle Hamemjan reports.
The explosions were heard at 4 in the morning, and not for the first time, the target was a school. Parts of the building are gone, and so is any hope the missiles will stop falling. They're not humans, they're animals, said the school teacher. I have no words. With every day that goes by, the cost of rebuilding Ukraine goes up. The recent estimate stands at more than $960 billion. And just as the West helped fund the reconstruction of Europe after the Second World War, its leaders will try to do the same with Ukraine.
The European Commission has proposed to the government of Ukraine to set up a reconstruction platform, to map investment needs, to coordinate action.
Ukrainian officials said today rich Russians should help foot the bill. It would require new legislation only Canada has so far introduced. The UK is now looking to do the same.
The United Kingdom is actively looking at how we legislate to seize assets from those who contributed to this appalling war. It's vitally important that we acquire those funds for the reconstruction of Ukraine.
The recovery of Ukraine is not a local project, not a project of one nation, said President Zelensky, but a common task of the entire democratic world. Ukraine's victories are few and far between, but today its flag was once again raised on the strategic outpost of Snake Island, while Moscow hit another milestone, declaring victory in Luhansk, in the easternmost region of Ukraine. The Russian president congratulated his troops and said they should all be given awards for their service. They've now been ordered to push deeper into eastern Ukraine. Danielle Hamamjan, CTV News, London.
In Italy, thunderstorms hampered the search today for 14 hikers. They are missing after a huge chunk of an alpine glacier broke off yesterday. It sent an avalanche of ice, snow, and rocks down the slope. At least seven people are confirmed to have died. What caused the glacier to break off isn't clear, but Italy is in a heat wave, and high temperatures are believed to be a possible factor.
Here at home, the federal government has signed a $20 billion final settlement to compensate First Nations children and families. A complaint was filed in 2007 arguing chronic underfunding of on-reserve child welfare services was discriminatory. In January, Ottawa announced it had reached agreements in principle for the $20 billion in compensation and another $20 billion to reform the First Nations child welfare system. The government says those negotiations are more complex.
The Pope's visit to Canada is still on as he addresses rumors of his retirement in a rare interview. The pontiff telling a Reuters reporter that stepping down at the end of the summer never entered his mind, and for the moment, retiring is not a consideration. But Pope Francis did say he might step down someday. His knee trouble has caused him to use a cane and a wheelchair for over a month. The pontiff is scheduled to arrive in Edmonton on July 24th. He'll also visit Quebec and Iqaluit during his six-day stay.
The federal government is transferring asylum seekers from Quebec to Ontario. More than 13,000 people crossed into Quebec from the U.S. illegally between January and May. So with the numbers rising, the Liberals say they're relocating a, quote, small number to Ottawa and Niagara Falls. It is to help reduce the pressure on Quebec. The province asked the government to shut down a rural road used by many of the asylum seekers to enter Quebec. The transfers to Ontario started on June 30th.
A Chinese-Canadian billionaire was due to go on trial in China today. Zhao Jianhua went missing in Hong Kong 5 years ago. He was whisked away from a luxury hotel in 2017 and hasn't been seen in public after being investigated amid a state-led conglomerate crackdown. The specifics of the probe have not been disclosed. In 2016, the tycoon was ranked 32nd on the Chinese equivalent of the Forbes list. He had an estimated net worth of more than $7.6 billion.
More than 30,000 residents of Sydney and the surrounding area were told to evacuate or prepare to abandon their homes today. Days of torrential rain has unleashed flooding in parts of Australia. A cargo ship lost power after leaving port this morning. There are engineers on board capable of repairing the engine, but it's very difficult in the howling wind and 8-meter swells. An attempt was made to hoist the crew of 21 off the ship, but that had to be abandoned because of the weather and large tower cranes on the vessel. Tugboats will move it into safer open waters. Coming up is Ontario in a summer wave of COVID-19 calls for the province to open up eligibility for fourth doses of the vaccine.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, auto theft has been a huge problem lately. And even if you own an older vehicle, it could still be a target. A woman was shocked when thieves stole the catalytic converter off her 16-year-old SUV, which will now cost her thousands to replace. All of my reports just ahead.
We have rain rolling in as we settle into the day tomorrow. So if your gardens or your grass need a little bit of a drink, they're likely to get some relief as we head in towards our Tuesday. And it's going to be warm as well. The rain doesn't do much in the way of dropping our temperatures. In through 9 a.m., 24 degrees, feeling like 27. And heading into the afternoon, we will feel into the 30s. Coming up, I will have a full look at your long-range forecast. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Auto theft has been a rising problem in the GTA, and you might think if you have an older car, your vehicle won't be a target for thieves.
But there has been a spike in the number of catalytic converter thefts, which can be a very expensive part to replace. Pat Foran joins us now with Consumer Alert. Pat?
Pauline and Michelle, the catalytic converter is attached to your car's exhaust system, and it contains precious metals that thieves can sell. It's why they're cutting them off vehicles, and if you only have basic car insurance, you won't be covered if yours gets stolen. When Kalita DeYoung of Etobicoke started her SUV one morning, it was obvious something was wrong. She thought her 16-year-old Honda CR-V with 200,000 kilometers wouldn't be a target for thieves.
I honestly thought that I would be immune from the whole carjacking car thefts that had been going around because of how old my car is, but apparently not.
DeYoung took the SUV to her mechanic, who told her the exhaust system and catalytic converter had been stolen. There's been a huge increase in catalytic converter thefts as criminals cut them off to sell the precious metals they contain, such as rhodium, platinum, and palladium.
Thieves who steal a catalytic converter may only get a few hundred dollars for it on the black market, but for the person who owns the vehicle, it can cost thousands of dollars to replace it.
$4,500 just for parts, and then it would be labor on top of it.
To make matters worse, DeYoung's auto insurance won't cover the theft or repairs.
I only have liability coverage, not comprehensive, so they're not going to cover anything.
The Insurance Bureau of Canada says you need comprehensive insurance to cover vehicle theft, theft of parts, or if your vehicle is damaged in a storm. Liability insurance doesn't cover those things.
A tree falling on your car, someone vandalizing your car, someone stealing your car would not be covered.
DeYoung had been using her SUV to get to her job helping people with disabilities go on sailing trips. For now, she'll be taking the TTC, and she has no idea what to do with her vehicle.
I would rather give them $300 than have them steal a part that's worth over $4,000. Like, it's just a huge pain and not enough gain for how much pain it causes.
And to try and stop this type of theft, you may want to park your car indoors if you can, or in a well-lit area with security cameras. It is a crime that happens quickly. Thieves can steal a converter off a vehicle in less than a minute. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, the day started with beautiful sunshine, mm-hmm. some nice heat. We've lost a bit of that, but I think if you look...
Clouds have moved in, yeah.
...at the week as a whole, it looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
When you look at the average of the whole week, it was really nice and a beautiful long weekend. Today was a nice day, pretty seasonal, but that Humidex, oh my goodness, it gets hot. It is going to continue to stay warm, but we are watching for rain to roll in tomorrow thanks to a low coming across the Dakotas. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. Now, we know that the heat is par for the course when we get into the summer season, and we are watching for this heat to continue building in, and there is a likelihood of some summer thunderstorms as we roll into the day tomorrow. The heat really focused in southwestern Ontario right now. Winds are at 30 degrees, Toronto at 24. We do have some heat warnings in that extreme southwestern corner. We're not under any warnings right now for Toronto and the GTA, but that could change very quickly, and always check on the more vulnerable people in your life who are sensitive to the heat. Now, as we head through the evening, the warmth we build up today, it's not going anywhere. 21 is the low. We should be closer to 16. Watching for the showers to roll in overnight. And then into our Tuesday, that's when it really starts to settle in. We're looking at 29 degrees, but feeling like 35 with the Humidex. For communities over towards kind of London, Windsor, that Humidex close to 40. That's what's prompting that warning out there. So just be careful if you do spend any time outside. After the system rolls through, we do start to average out with our temperature, so it will be getting a little more comfortable for those daytime highs and especially the overnight lows. We're looking at this system really kind of settling into northern Ontario, but it sweeps across the south as we head throughout the day. And this is ahead of a warm front making its way through, pushing all this rain in towards us. So timing everything out, tonight it's going to be cloudy. The chance of a pop-up shower not out of the question, but it's as we get into tomorrow morning, right in time for that commute if you're heading out kind of between 6 a.m. and about 8 a.m. We're watching for that rain and embedded thunderstorms. So when you see the yellows and the reds and the oranges, that's when you see that that's the really heavy downpour. So when you see this on a map, that's what that means. As we head throughout the day, though, not a complete washout. So as we get through 9 a.m., it's going to start to kind of clear up a little bit. We get a bit of a break, maybe even a little late sunshine. And then we're watching for the chance of scattered showers overnight. But getting into the middle of the week, the sunshine returns just in time to get through our Wednesday. And then it kind of carries through the rest of the week, the first full week of July. So again, stormy tomorrow. It's going to be hot and humid. But getting in towards your Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we start to average out a little bit. Still a Humidex, so be careful spending time outdoors. Hydration and sun protection are key, even on a day that isn't, you know, brilliantly sunny. You still have to protect yourself. Getting in towards the weekend, lots of sunshine on the way for the first full week of July. Michelle.
Thank you, Jess. In the UK, scientists have discovered something quite spectacular in the water. It looks almost unreal. The Victoria boliviana is the biggest known water lily species in the world. Its leaves can grow close to 10 feet wide and can support nearly 180 pounds. The scientists say finding out about this new species is important to protecting it. The giant water lily is currently on display at Kew Gardens in London.
And also tonight, a rough start to the summer for an overnight camp in Muskoka as a COVID-19 outbreak cancels the first few weeks before they can even start. Health experts say Ontario is in a summer wave of COVID-19. Both wastewater data and hospitalizations indicating an upward trend.
The rising numbers are creating concern about virus protection, with doctors calling on the province to lower the eligibility criteria for those who can receive a fourth COVID-19 vaccine shot. Right now, a fourth dose is only available to those over the age of 60, as well as adults of any age who are Indigenous, living in long-term care, or immunocompromised. About 50% of the province's entire population have gotten a third dose so far. The head of Ontario's COVID-19 science advisory table says the evolving virus means changes to vaccine policies need to be made.
The virus has proven to be a really terrible adversary for us, and it has mutated to the extent that what is currently circulating now in Ontario and Canada and the world is almost unrecognizable compared to what we originally saw and what we developed vaccines against. And so you have these increasing rounds of vaccination come out because we're doing the best we can to protect ourselves against the mutating virus. What happens in the future, it's really unclear. One of the things that's very promising is vaccines that are being tailored and developed against what's circulating now, as opposed to what was in place 2 years ago.
Today, Ontario's NDP also called on the government to expand access to fourth doses.
An overnight camp in Huntsville has been forced to cancel its first 2 weeks due to a COVID-19 outbreak among staff. Camp Wabanaki, located on Lake Vernon, was set to welcome roughly 200 campers for the first time in 2 years today, but had to cancel after multiple staff caught the virus. The camp CEO says it likely spread during their last week of training. He says all impacted families will receive a full refund and that roughly half have already rebooked into later camps.
His work has been described as being about the triumph of survival. Canadian artist David Blackwood has passed away at the age of 80. He was best known for etchings of life in his native Newfoundland. Blackwood graduated from the Ontario College of Art in 1963 and spent most of his time here after that.
Canadian film director Paul Haggis has been released from house arrest in Italy. A judge ruled the Oscar-winning screenwriter should be allowed out while authorities investigate allegations against him. Haggis was arrested last month after a British woman accused him of raping her in a town where he was teaching at a film event. Haggis denies the allegations and says everything was consensual.
Amber Heard wants a judge to throw out the $10 million verdict against her. The actor was sued by ex-husband Johnny Depp for defamation. He won, but in post-trial motions, Heard's lawyers argued the verdict was not supported by the evidence. They also claim one of the jurors may not have been properly vetted. Heard wants the verdict set aside and Depp's lawsuit dismissed or a new trial ordered.
Actress Lindsay Lohan says she is the luckiest woman in the world after sharing with the world that she tied the knot. Lohan marked her 36th birthday by announcing she got married to financier Badr Shamas. In a post on Instagram, she wrote, "I am stunned that you are my husband," adding, "Every woman should feel like this every day." The couple went public with their engagement last November.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
And after the break, consumers and businesses feel the squeeze as inflation expectations hit a record in Canada. What that means for the interest rate hikes.
Frontline healthcare fallout. Tomorrow on CP24 Breakfast. What patients are facing as local hospitals struggle with rising emergency admissions. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
On a day that we came together to celebrate community and freedom, we're instead mourning the loss, the tragic loss of life, and struggling with the terror that was brought upon us.
Updating our top stories, Chicago police are searching for a suspect after a shooter killed six people and wounded more than two dozen others by opening fire on a 4th of July parade.
It's just so incredibly dangerous and really dumb, frankly. People can obviously get hurt very badly. People can die.
The TTC is investigating a video which shows two people on the roof of a moving subway train on the Scarborough Rapid Transit System. The transit agency says those involved could face criminal charges as well as a hefty fine for disobeying TTC bylaws.
It's terrible. We're exhausted and, I mean, it was just bouncing everywhere, so there was no clear communication.
Canadian airlines and airports were the worst in the world for delays and cancellations over the weekend, according to tracking service FlightAware. Travel experts say passengers will be dealing with delays all summer as the airline industry works to catch up to renewed demand.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day or night through our website, cdvnewstoronto.ca. And if ever you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
Well, if you're worried about the potential for high prices to continue to climb, you're not alone. New surveys from Canada's central bank show expectations for inflation over the next couple of years has hit a record high. BNN Bloomberg's Jacqueline Hansen has more.
Both consumers and businesses in Canada are bracing for prices to stay higher for longer. That's according to a pair of new surveys from the Bank of Canada. Canadians' expectations for inflation have risen along with their concerns about prices for food, gasoline, and rent. Expectations matter. If consumers think the cost of living will continue to increase, they may push harder for higher wages. And if businesses expect costs for labor and materials to climb, they will tend to increase the prices they charge. So higher higher expectations for inflation can help push prices even higher. The Bank of Canada is trying to keep expectations anchored and get inflation back to its target of 2%. In May, it hit 7.7%. Whether or not price increases ease in the future, many consumers are already feeling squeezed. The latest Bloomberg Nanos Consumer Confidence Index found Canadians are getting more pessimistic about the economy and their own financial situation. 57% of respondents believe the nation's economy will weaken over the coming months. The survey also found fewer people felt better about their financial situation and fewer expect the value of real estate to increase in the next 6 months. And there are more signs of confidence cracking in the crypto space. A TSX-listed cryptocurrency platform has suspended trading, deposits, and withdrawals. Voyager Digital is coping with fallout from its exposure to a troubled hedge fund, Three Arrows Capital, which filed for bankruptcy protection. Voyager says it is focused on protecting assets and maximizing value for all customers as quickly as possible. Voyager also says it has retained a U.S. investment bank to help explore strategic alternatives. Its shares plunged today more than 40%. Let's take a look at some of the other closing market numbers for today. The Canadian dollar climbed just slightly to trade at 77.73 cents U.S. West Texas Intermediate oil climbed more than $2 to $110.66 U.S. And Western Canadian Select also jumped more than $2.50 to $90.11 U.S. a barrel. As for stock markets, the TSX climbed more than 160 points to 19,028.86. That is the latest in business. I'm Jacqueline Hansen of BNN Bloomberg.
Canadian retailers are dealing with a major increase in shipping costs as couriers add new fuel surcharges onto their rates. Some carriers have implemented surcharges higher than 40%, and with online shopping and returns, those costs can add up quickly. The Retail Council of Canada says most companies are trying to absorb the extra costs. Indigo Books and Music, for example, says it's focused on trying to ship from local stores instead of a centralized warehouse to cut down on expenses.
The OPP are expressing concern about an increase in agricultural trespassing in Dufferin County. Police say there were two instances of people stopping on the side of Highway 10 in Melanchthon Township and entering a canola field to take photos. Police say the people entering the field potentially caused $2,000 worth of damage to the crop. They are warning people against entering the fields and asking the public to report any similar activity.
A program that pairs local youth with Toronto Police launched today. 117 young people from across the city were welcomed to Toronto Police College to start an 8-week internship. The Youth in Policing program focuses on diverse youth between the ages of 15 and 18 years old who live in priority neighborhoods. It aims to promote youth participation, develop job skills, and foster positive partnerships with police.
I always think, I want to be really involved in the community and see like how our police system functions and honestly just have some fun going around different units.
I mostly want to continue with the police because it's something I always wanted to do, and police is also it's a big role model for me.
The Youth in Policing program runs smaller groups in the fall and winter.
And just ahead, it's that 4th of July tradition that is both fascinating and hard to watch. Just how many wieners the top dog managed to chow down this time.
Tonight, we're tracking the latest on another deadly mass shooting in America.
People screaming and running.
The terrifying timeline as a gunman opens fire during a 4th of July parade. That story and more later on CTV National News.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight. And you can also listen to the newscast live on News Talk 1010.
Get Toronto's top stories, breaking news alerts, and watch live. Download the CTV News app.
Well, Joey Chestnut has done it again.
The man with the iron stomach defended his title today at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest at Coney Island.
With 63 Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns for his 15th championship, Joey Chestnut!
Chestnut devoured 63 hot dogs in 10 minutes, but he fell short of his record of 73 at last year's competition. Nicknamed Jaws, Chestnut has won 7 titles in a row and 15 of the last 16 hot dog eating contests. His entry this year came as a surprise after a series of personal setbacks left fans questioning whether he'd make a return. And in a decisive chowdown comeback, women's record holder Miki Sudo downed 40 wieners and their buns to win the women's title. She skipped last year's Frankfest because she was pregnant. You'd think she was eating for two. Today also marked the contest's return to its traditional location outside Nathan's flagship shop. The event was relocated in 2020 and last year because of the pandemic. Congratulations to them.
Now, we suddenly don't want hot dogs.
Not anymore.
But that does tell you that, you know, it's summer. When you see the hot dog contest, you know, it's summer. And we do have some great summer weather this week.
Yes.
But a little bit of a wet hiccup.
A little bit. I mean, you might get a bit of a break in time to barbecue. So if you want to have a hot dog tomorrow, you probably can later on in the day. I definitely
don't. Or 63.
Or 63. But we are looking at a little rain rolling in as we get into our Tuesday. So something to keep in mind as you plan your commute. It has already started. We're looking at a line of showers rolling through kind of Sault Ste. Marie towards Parry Sound, right around the Golden Horseshoe. Still pretty warm to head out through the evening. A little cloudy, and then we're watching for that rain to roll in. But the good news is it moves pretty quickly. So enough to give your grass a bit of a break in the garden. And then after that, pretty nice, right?
That looks gorgeous. Thank you, Jessica. And be sure to join Andrea Case later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Jessica and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
Good night.